Black Panther out on Blu-ray today? Do we have news, both Captain and Miss Marvel? And are we going to talk about Deadpool? Spoiler-free, because we're not monsters. Yes, this is Marvel Movie News.
Welcome to Popcorn Talk, featuring movie discussion, news, and interviews. Popcorn Talk, we talk movies. And now, here's Popcorn Talk's Marvel Movie News.
Excelsior to you, our merry Marvelites.
That's us.
That's us. How was your week?
Oh, we hope it's been well and you're looking forward to Deadpool.
This very Friday or Thursday, if you're frisky, we have already seen it, but we are not Forbes. So we will not spoil a thing in this episode. We'll be talking about general feelings. We'll be talking about vagaries. We'll be talking with zeal, but silence.
Yes.
Because Thanos and Cable demand our silence.
And I'll be subtly showing off my my spray-on Deadpool tattoo.
Which we got at Sister Margaret's.
Yes.
Markia was there before me and made the line of doom to get that tattoo.
It was the line of doom. It really was.
Whole thing. But first, the intro before we dive into Deadpool. We are the Marvel Movie News. We are coming to you live from Sister Margaret's School for Wayward Girls. And this is episode 180. 180 episodes of marvelousness.
Already?
Yeah.
Already?
Isn't that crazy?
Wow.
Feels like we just had 150.
It's amazing.
180 episodes. Very big deal. I'm very excited. I like these numbers. Now, you can subscribe to us on iTunes at Marvel Movie News or find us on YouTube.com/PopcornTalkNetwork. You can find us through Popcorn Talk's website at PopcornTalkNetwork.com. You can follow us on Twitter at MarvelNewsPTN or The Popcorn Talk. Find us on Facebook at Facebook.com/MarvelNewsShow. Follow us, like us, and if you retweet a link whilst we are live, Ant-Manthony in the booth will retweet you.
Hello, everybody. It's Ant-Manthony. I'm giving you maximum effort right now from the booth.
I love that like DJ nice voice that just happened. Hey, it's Ant-Man in the booth, and today we're coming to you live with the 20th caller gets a free dose of maximum effort.
Yeah, and this the Quiet Storm.
So, it is the week of maximum effort as we go into a spoiler-free talk right now, and I first want to know how excited Amy is for Deadpool.
Yes, our associate producer, Amy.
Yeah, I am so freaking pumped. We haven't been waiting for it as long as Infinity War, I think. But still, the excitement is there. I really want to try to sneak in a chimichanga.
Can't eat dairy because it makes my skin like a 14-year-old prepubescent boy. I get real, real bad. I get Deadpool face when I eat dairy. I eat chimichanga once a year on Deadpool Day. So it's either a giant Deadpool comic, which was last year because there was no movie, or the wide release of the movie. I get a chimichanga and I accept my skin fate. And once a year I get a pizza. So twice a year I get the thing I miss all year. And on the 17th, I'm getting a chimichanga.
That's right.
Salsa
that's,
and beer, North
that's
Hollywood.
That's Deadpool devotion. It's right there. That
I'm willing to accept pain and bad faith.
Your health just inside.
Oh, yes.
For my passion.
Jimmy Chung-tastic. So I'm real hype about this week for a lot of reasons.
Also, that's the best place to get a chimichanga. I love salsa and beer.
Dude, salsa and beer is my jam. Salsa if you live in the greater Los Angeles area.
Salsa and beer. Same. Never heard of it.
You guys.
Okay, well, I'm writing this down.
Yep. Steak piccata burrito. This big, beans, rice, $8. Change the game.
Wow.
Burrito fajita.
Dude.
I like the name of it because it's like one of those generic names that you'll find like in a movie.
Yeah.
You're like, oh yeah, we're going to beer and pizza.
It's just facts. Salsa and beer. We have those things. So check it out if you live in Los Angeles. Even if you don't, come Quest. And I'll be there Thursday eating chimichangas till I cry.
Yeah. A quick reminder. If you want to see Koi and myself, tomorrow we will be seeing Infinity War for John Schnepp's birthday. I will be going to the Burbank 16.
Yep, IMAX 16.
2:30 p.m. showing. So, yeah. And we'll be there at 1:30.
At 1, yeah. We'll be in
we'll
the
be
area
there
at
1. 1:30 to do like a fan meetup with because it's John's birthday and everything. And, you know, we are also on Collider Heroes. So come out.
Yeah.
Come out and say hey. Let's talk comics. Let's talk movies.
So excited for that. Any Marvelites. I love meeting Mary Marvelites. So we'll be in that like Burbanky hub for hours. So we'll be there and I can't wait.
I know it's gonna be fun.
It's gonna be good. Now, speaking of good.
Yes.
Deadpool.
Yes.
We've seen it. You're gonna see it.
Yes.
It's gonna make a lot of money. It was just certified fresh Rotten Tomatoes just today. I personally saw it twice. In one day. Markia brought me in the morning, and then a friend of mine midday had someone bail on them, and I was like, I will be your plus one to see Deadpool. So I've seen Deadpool twice.
That's funny. That's what I did with Infinity War.
Yeah, just like the pop, pop.
Yeah.
I literally went back to the same theater, and the same people were working, like, all right.
Like, okay. Here's another popcorn and water.
Hello, sir. So I actually had a really interesting thing where I walked out of it the first time with you, mm-hmm. and I remember very specifically being like, you know, I liked that, but I didn't love it.
Mm.
And I was like, oh no, I need to love this. Like, it was not having an A. Yeah, not having an A is crushing because it's my boy.
Right.
The second time, absolutely loved it.
I love that.
I love that
second viewing, like, fleshed everything. It out for you. It made it blossom.
Yeah.
Okay, great.
Because the first time I watched it, I was comparing it to Deadpool 1.
Oh, okay.
The second time I watched it, I was comparing it to itself, and I didn't have my prior judgments on it. Like, I was able to just see it as a movie.
Nice.
Like, I think I was too invested, because I'm actively rereading every Deadpool in print in preparation for this movie. So I've read 217 comics in the last 3 weeks.
Of course
in you prep have. For this movie.
Of course you have.
Because homie don't play. I don't sleep, I read.
Like Chuck Norris.
I don't wait, I read. I was too invested, I think. And then I also, like, I just rewatched the first one. And the first one had 11 years of shaping and finding. And the heart of the first one is what I love about the first one is the first Deadpool movie is the thing where everyone that hates Deadpool, I can go, no. This is Deadpool's heart. This is what you find.
Yes.
And the second one is more, it felt like a different set of comic writers writing the same character. Now, mm-hmm. I know it's the same screenwriters. That's not the metaphor I'm trying to make. It felt like a different run of Deadpool. And I really, once I went, oh, this is a different run, I loved it. I just had to detach myself.
Okay, you just have to think about it in a different way.
In a comic
sense.
A
very small paradigm shift.
Yeah.
Like, kind of happened. Oh, I like
that. So I was giddy the second time.
Oh.
Sure happens.
I love it.
Okay. What did you think?
Okay, so for I've only seen it once. I will see it again.
Mm-hmm.
A movie has to be extremely bad for me not to see it more than one time. You know, like, case in point. Okay, you know what? I'm not going to go there.
I hate that movie.
but this movie, I'm definitely going to see about 3 or 4 times altogether.
Mm-hmm.
And then if you want to know, the most I've seen a movie in theaters, I saw Black Panther 6 times. So that's the height standard. So for me to say 3 or 4 after seeing it once, I really enjoyed the movie. Yeah, I did a tweet with it where it's like, I was kind of inspired by Deadpool, where it's just, the humor, okay. Because it's like comedy and vulgarity and violence, but in a fun way.
Yeah.
Like, it's so good.
It's really fun.
It does inspire you in a certain way.
Yeah.
It really does. But yeah, I thought it was hilarious. I like the soundtrack, and the score. When you hear it, you'll be like, okay, that there was a lot of production value that went into this specific thing. And it's well worth it. So I very much enjoyed that. But
it was more of a comedy. It was very, definitely punched up the comedy. The action is definitely way stylized. It's all the pieces we expected. It's just, it wasn't the first movie. So I really liked the pieces we got. And I think it has the best post-credit scene of all time.
Yes. It goes there with the post-credits. Definitely.
So obviously,
I mean, you already know. You already know.
If you're watching this show.
You already know. Like, are they like mid-credits? Are they like
mid-credits? They're mid-credits.
They're mid-credits, yeah. Definitely stay for those. I really enjoyed the heart of the first one.
Mm-hmm.
I'm glad that was our first one, which introduced us, most of us, to Deadpool in like in a mainstream way. And the second one, yeah, I like that take on it, where it's don't go in expecting it to be the first one with there was that 11-year buildup of like passion and tweaking and everything like that. Yeah, but it's super solid sequel. I know that they did reshoots for Domino and Cable. I want even more Domino and Cable.
Yeah.
Yes, X-Force.
Yeah.
Love it.
Like, the cameos are incredible. The team building is so funny.
Yes.
The Easter eggs are top notch. Like, all the pieces you want from a Marvel movie are there. And on rewatch, I feel like those pieces got to shine more. Because I wasn't like, you know when you like go on a roller coaster ride, you're just like, I'm experiencing. And then the second time, you're like, oh, I noticed this. Like, it felt like that for me. I got to like be in it. So I'm really excited for my third viewing, because I think it'll just grow for me. And it feels like a different run. It feels like I had been reading Joe Kelly and then Jerry Dugan took over. So I got to like experience a different like arc. So I dug it.
Excellent. Okay. Yeah. I get that. I'm going to keep that in mind for my second viewing.
Yeah.
It's like, for me, it'd be like, oh, okay. So I know Christopher Priest, and now I'm going into maybe Ta-Nehisi Coates.
Yeah. Yeah. So, and Priest on Deadpool, by the way, if you haven't read, Christopher Priest running Deadpool is one of the best.
Ooh.
Like, in my reread, I'd forgotten how much I loved that run. And then I looked and it was
because Christopher Priest, the man.
He's brilliant.
He's excellent.
He has had one of the best Deadpool jokes of fourth wall breaking, by the way. There's an the very first issue.
Is this the one that you sent me?
The bag? Wait. No. Yeah, no, this is different. Oh, okay, this is a different. He gets on the book, and in this first panel, you see Deadpool dragging this bag in a wheelbarrow, and then, like, throughout the first page, he's hugging this bag around, and then he throws the bag in the lake, and on the bag it said, all of the things that made this book work. So he's throwing away everything, and, like, what a great self-referent. Beautiful, beautiful work. So, Deadpool the movie is out Thursday/Friday. Next week, we will be discussing spoilers because it will have been out for like 4 days. We will have a very special guest on next week to discuss spoilers with.
Yes, we will. You're going to love this guest that we have that is coming on. That's May 22nd.
Mm-hmm.
May 22nd. Our time for that show may be different. In fact, I think we can practically confirm that it will not be at 2 o'clock. It will be earlier. It'll either be an 11 a.m. show or a 12 p.m. show. We're waiting for everything to just like get confirmed and everything, but just so that you know, we'll remind again, Amy, please help us remind everybody at the end that next week's live show won't be at 2. It will be earlier.
Yeah, I think that will
2 p.m. PST.
Yeah, PST, wherever you're listening from. But next week, special guest, and that's why it's earlier to make that schedule work.
Exactly. And believe me, you'll understand why.
Worth it.
Yes.
And that will be a full spoiler show where this is another movie, not quite like Infinity War, but much like that, where it's hard to say anything non-spoilers. This movie is chock full of, like, whoa! So I don't want to even give anything that might hint.
Yes. I mean, literally, it's just everything in it is excellent.
The kitchen sink poster is accurate.
Yes. Yes, it is.
So, speaking of Deadpool and silence, Deadpool demands our silence.
Oh, I will say this, chat room. No, I'm sorry. It's not Matt Key. It's not Matt Key that we're having for next week.
Oh, yeah. Sorry. He's the busiest. We did get to see him recently, and he sends his love to all of you guys. Matt Key loves you very much, but his schedule is insane.
Yes. And if you want to watch Collider Heroes tomorrow, we strongly recommend it. In any case, moving on.
Yes. Perhaps see that show with Matt.
Perhaps if that's the person that you were bringing up, you want to see Collider Heroes tomorrow.
Yeah.
All right.
So Deadpool add a little jab at the knowledge that Thanos and, you know, his share Josh Brolin in that little movie might be doing some gangbuster numbers. So there was a Deadpool demanding of silence because there are quite a bit of spoilers in this movie. And a lot of the fun of this movie was not knowing what was going to happen.
Indeed.
It's like a very...
I heartily agree with
that. Yeah, like a lot of surprises.
When you see it and afterwards, you're going to want to be like, and this person. And it's like, just hold off.
Just
hold off
a little bit. Let him watch it.
Let him watch it.
We're waiting till Tuesday.
Yes.
So, you know, everyone just let your friends see it and experience it because it's a ride. So if you haven't seen this image, it is fantastic. It says, Deadpool demands your sister. Oh, no. Spell check. Silence. And it's a very tongue-in-cheek, very Deadpool written. And then we actually don't have the image, but in response to this, the Russo brothers tweeted out a Infinity Gauntlet middle finger back to Ryan Reynolds.
Oh, my God. That's awesome.
From the official Russo brothers Twitter. It's pretty fantastic.
That's excellent.
So everyone's aware of the tongue-in-cheek humor of Deadpool, which is glorious.
Yes. And for our iTunes people, the graphic that we have right now, it's a series of hands that are on... this particular page that has Deadpool demands your silence, everything from a baby hand to an animal paw. And, then, and just, yes, there's many hands in this
page. And one of my favorite things is they crossed out Fox on the letterhead and it says TBD because, you know, who owns Fox? What is Fox anyway?
Who is Fox? What is Fox?
Why is Fox? So that is that little brief moment. We also want to discuss David Beckham. Sir Aunt Anthony, can you play this glory? Miss Marquia hasn't seen it yet.
I have not. Can you turn it up?
Mouth sex to can of helium. You ever heard David Beckham speak? It's like he mouth sex to can of helium.
In the first film, there's a Beckham jab, which Mr. Beckham is rewatching again and again for iTunes listeners.
I am so sorry. So sorry.
Too soon? Yeah, too soon.
Lo siento. Amor, lo siento.
I can't wait to not watch Italy play the Netherlands.
I can't stay mad at you.
Healing hugs. Here we go. Oh, God, finally, that feels so good. You smell amazing, like cinnamon and manhood.
No, we should let go.
Let's let go of this burden together. Just wonderful.
No.
Okay.
What was you apologizing for anyway?
Well, just
the bit in Deadpool with the voice.
Doesn't ring a bell.
What did you think I was apologizing for?
I mean, there's a list. Green Lantern, yep. RIPD, Selfless,
terrible.
Blade Trinity,
Bolt Neck.
Wait, what is
Bolt Neck was a masterpiece!
David, I'm so sorry. I yelled, I raised my voice, I lost control. Please open up.
What was the last one?
Bald Neck?
Bald Neck?
I don't know. I know my Ryan Reynolds, and I don't know that one.
Oh, there's a post-credits.
So, what great way to advertise for a movie with giving nothing away, obviously, and referencing the first, much like Deadpool. And that is something I want to point out. In the movie, the Deadpool body language, like we see here, is so on point. Like, the way he plays almost like a mime clown that speaks, but, like, his body language is so much. And you see that here, and, like, no one else could be Deadpool. Like, Ryan Reynolds, you can tell it's him in the suit, because that man knows comedy. I'm so excited to talk about this movie with you guys. Like, it's killing me.
And I especially love the expressive eyes. Like, you get with the Spider-Man.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, it's excellent. Everything works.
It's so fun. It's really a fun is. Movie. So next week we'll dive in and I can say all the things I want to right now. But before that, a certain movie that made a lot of money is going to make some more money at home on Blu-ray.
Yes. Is there, I believe it's at number 3 domestic right now. It sank Titanic. I don't know if any of y'all have heard of this movie, but it's not like we talk about it a whole lot.
It's a first time mention.
You know, it's Black Panther.
And it's doing amazing. It's still in theaters. It's still breaking the top 10, and now it's out on Blu-ray. That is incredible. It's gonna, like, just, like, money at home and in theaters at the same time as Infinity War grows. It's so freaking cool. So, on this Blu-ray, we have so many special features. We have that deleted scene we showed last week. We've got commentary. Disney really does their Blu-rays well. And they also do a thing where Disney ups the price of their Blu-rays after about a month. So, if you're gonna buy Black Panther, do it now. For one, because you want to show that you're supporting Marvel. But two, it is gonna be very expensive. So, buy your Black Panther.
Get it now.
Get it now.
Get it right now. And something that I tweeted out. I hope everybody's seen Infinity War. I'm not really going to say anything. But the credits, like the credit sequence of Black Panther, were they warning us about Infinity War?
It's right? Sand, it's pretty like...
And then it's like blowing things.
Yeah.
And I'm like,
I never put that together, but yeah. I mean, they had to know.
It's just... Oh, there was this one part in it. I tweeted it. Look at my Twitter. I'm emotion. Continuing on.
So I wanted to talk to you about this because I was curious of your thoughts.
Mm.
The female-led Black Panther spinoff idea.
I don't know if females are ready to... Yes! Yes!
Well, the movie's already so female-led anyway. And, like, I love that about it. So,
but it would be different. I mean,
oh, yeah, of course.
Yeah, it would be completely different. Like, let's say, for instance, that, and, you know, the first thought is, oh, let's do Shuri, you know, with her having to take over for Black Panther for whatever reason she might have to do that, you know, step up in a leader's shoes. That is going to be a very different movie than having her be a co-lead with already having Black Panther there. Do you
absolutely,
yeah, it's like a completely different
dynamic to the
exactly completely different take too, where you have her in a position of power as opposed to sharing a position of power or aiding a position of power. So if you have that with like Shuri, or let's say Okoye for whatever reason has to step up into leader's shoes, or Ramonda, each time if you've seen the movie, each time I see those names, I'm hoping that just your mind movie is kind of tweaking that and like kind of spinning that kind of like a prism where you think like Okoye, okay, general of the Dora Milaje. So a female led Okoye movie is going to be different than if you turn that prism and you have a Ramonda, who's Angela Bassett, when you have her, because that would be more of
energy.
Be more of a maybe political intrigue because she's, you know, queen mother and like a seat of power, and then what she would have to deal with. Maybe less action driven, but hey, it's Angela Bassett. You could have that. Or if you even tweak that a little bit differently and you have Nakia, and you have a female driven Black Panther 2 with Nakia, we know her as a Wakandan spy. So it's like, what are we following with her? I mean, what outfits is she going to through? Different languages, different countries. Then you have more of that global aspect with everything. So in any case, I would see all four of those movies.
That was my point, is that this movie that already is so established that the movie wasn't a female led film, but the female leads are so strong. You can imagine all of that.
Exactly.
It's ready.
They were fleshed out.
Yeah.
So you can see them doing more, or even just having Okoye, Black Widow, and
Scarlet
Witch. Yeah. having that team up happening.
Add Jennifer Walters, A-Force, boom, ready. Yeah.
Have Valkyrie jump in.
Yeah, oh, man, that movie would be so good.
Something else.
Ryan Coogler said, when asked about the female-led film, oh man, that would be amazing if the opportunity came up. They did it in the comic book version. There's a whole section of the film where T'Challa is out of the movie and you're just following the women. That's one of my favorite parts of the movie when I watched it, and I didn't expect that. The part of the movie you feel like you're watching something fresh and new. That part of it was exciting. We have these actresses who could easily carry their own movie. Some of them have before. We were so fortunate I would watch a movie with them. So... Mm-hmm. Ryan Coogler is a genius, and I would love to see more of his work, especially in the world of Black Panther. Like, I want to see his indies. I love Fruitvale Station. Creed is, I think, one of the best, oh, this series broke, let's fix it, I've ever seen. Like, Rocky is an incredible franchise, and then Creed, like, by the way, it's alive, it's a phoenix. So, like, Ryan Coogler, all respect. So this would be a great way to just branch out and build the Black Pantherverse in a very different way, and I'd love that.
Yeah, like in the words of Shuri, just because something works doesn't mean you can't improve it.
Yes.
So.
And Amy, what do you think about an idea of a female-led Black Panther?
Well, underscore actually sums up exactly how I feel in the chat. Sounds awesome. Powerful women and more Wakanda. Sold.
Yeah.
I don't think we could ever get tired of delving into these stories. These are powerful women, and even just, you know, exploring other kinds of points of views would be great. So I'm game.
Yeah, and if you want to not wait and you want to just be like, oh, how can I get some, you know, powerful female driven World of Wakanda, written by Roxane Gay, is very accessible. Mm-hmm. I mean, I believe it's under Marvel Unlimited. I'd be surprised if it isn't. And just go ahead and check out one of the issues. It follows, like, at the beginning, it's been a little bit since I've read it, but I believe the very first part of it follows the Dora Milaje. I'm gonna say her name wrong. Ayo, she was played by Florence Kasamba in Black Panther. She's also the one that when you see in Civil War, when Black Widow comes up, when Black Panther walks up to Black Widow, she's the one that goes, move or you will be moved.
Yeah.
So it follows her and her OTP. I'm forgetting names right now, but it follows her relationship in the Dora Milaje and with another member of the Dora Milaje. So well worth it. Go ahead. And
anytime Shuri's Black Panther is a fun read.
Oh, yes.
Like anytime.
Reginald Hudlin.
Yeah. So we have a live read this week for MVMT.
We do indeed.
They keep the lights on, and we thank them for that.
Yeah. I had put it in the middle of the show.
Sorry, it was there was a little library thing after go. Black Panther.
All right. Yes. So, movement. You know that from our snazzy watches that we wear. Believe that we're supposed to be getting some more.
Yeah.
That'd be nice. I think it was like a miscommunication between us or well,
there's a new
line, like,
which I cannot wait to rock because I'm a watch guy, and the new ones are so dope.
Yeah, looking forward to that when that comes in. So if you've heard, you know, we definitely talk about movement, especially Koi's, like, big time with it.
I was buying movement watches before they became a sponsor. So this is like for me, it's like I can actually be an ad, be like, well, before they sponsored the show, I was a fan. Like,
that
it's
is
legit.
Like the hipsterest thing you ever said, and I'm here for it.
I liked them before they were cool.
But yeah, I mean, they start at just $95. I mean, when you go to a department store, you're looking at $400 to $500. They figured out that if they sell online, they can cut out the middleman and then, like, do the savings and the quality of the watch to you. I mean, it's pretty classic. I love the colors that they use. I like to go with full colors. Like, I do, like, rose gold, or do a full silver, or do a full all black. But you can get 15% off today with free shipping and free returns when you go to mvmt.com/Marvel. So that's, they'll know that we sent you there.
Yeah.
And then you get your 15% off. And that helps movement keep growing, and it helps, you know, our show here with
keep
our
living.
Sponsor. So yeah, go ahead and check out their expanding collection. And that's mvmt.com/Marvel. Join the movement.
And it was just Mother's Day. So if you were not on the ball, mayhaps jump on that game. And Father's Day is around the bend, as is my birthday in September, and I like watches. So, we have a P.O. box here at AfterBuzz, so...
I'm telling you, we both like watches.
I'm just saying, if someone's birthday every day, but we'll accept gifts. So, in the world of Black Panther, the console game is changing, and I am so excited to let... You know what? Markia is one of the like gameriest gamers that doesn't get an outlet to talk about it enough because she does a lot of comic shows. So yeah. I'm going to give full pitch saying Markia, Black Panther, game console, go.
Okay, so I'm a PS person. I have been for a while. I tried Xbox way back when, and it just didn't really stick for me. They finally found a way to get me involved with Xbox. Because between PS and PC, it's like, I don't really, you know, such and such. But they have this sweepstakes. It's the Xbox One X Black Panther custom console sweepstakes. And they are going to have 5 Xbox One consoles that are inspired by Black Panther. And for our iTunes people, this is so Black Panther. The actual controller is like you're staring at his mask with the two eyes. And I think that is so ridiculously cool.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just great. And I'm thinking that it's probably like maybe raised or maybe it's printed on the console. But yeah, it's a red sweepstakes. You can find it online. Obviously, I tweeted it out also because if I get one of those, I'll start streaming from that Xbox. Let's not play. So only the 5 limited edition ones. And it includes a physical copy of Black Panther in 4K Ultra HD. And that sweepstakes is just until May 29th. So
get on it.
So, yeah, go for it. And if you win, go ahead and tweet at us so I can be all jelly. About
you winning. Also, like, unboxing video because I want to see that beast in 3D. That looks so cool.
Oh, that looks pretty cool.
And rumor is, which is very funny for our show specifically, there will be a PS4 Spider-Man edition. I just saw previews the other day, but it was an artist rendering, so I didn't want to, like, get too excited. But it looks like a beautiful all-red PS4 with a big white spider on it, and I would love if, like, you got your console, I got my console, and then, like, we just can't do the show anymore because we're just like...
Yeah, or we'll be doing the show, but it would just be, like, it's us just a watch grunting along at screens.
Like, you're on that TV, I'm on this TV, on our respective consoles. So I just love that, all of our favorite characters are getting so much time to shine, and they're getting in different ways. Like, it's hard to get a video game out, much less a console wrapped in the game. That means these characters are doing amazing. So I'm excited.
And I see Benzo Enzo MK2, what's happening with that Marvel game. I assume that you mean the Avengers game that they delayed before, and now, you know, they've got that guy from Naughty Dog. I keep on forgetting his name. Steven Kasig, I want to say. He's the same one that brought us Left Behind from The Last of Us, and I'm very excited that he's on it. I'm hoping that with E3 we'll get some sort of announcement that Square Enix will be doing that. Speaking of which, I'll be going to E3, so if you see me there, let's talk video games. Also,
let her. Yes. I know nothing, I feel bad, so let her vent about video games, gang. And in the world of video games, we are all excited for the Avengers game, and I think that that's the next move. They've been talking about, like, the red brick of Marvel being more than just movies, so I think that the video game movement is coming.
Well, they definitely signed, like, a multi-game deal, so it's just a matter of time.
I think E3 is going to be pretty big. I'm just predicting E3's got some announcements.
I think they need to make that happen since this has been Infinity War year.
Yeah, and speaking of Infinity War year, the Russo brothers have debunked a very, very popular Soulstone theory. They were at the Iowa City High School Q&A, which, shout out to Iowa. That is awesome. You have the Russo brothers at your city high school.
Very nice.
They said that the Russos explicitly stated he's inside the Soul Stone. When probed if that meant Gamora was in the Soul Stone, Russo answered, she is, in fact, yes. So that sent a whirlwind of, like, internet speculation after this Q&A, because that can mean so much. And Joe Russo said, quote, the power that it took Thanos to click his fingers, he's so dramatic that if you look closely at the film and the damage of the gauntlet, you look so closely at the very last scene, it damages his arm dramatically. At that moment when he clicks his fingers, it sends him in this ethereal place inside of the Soul Stone, where, as part of his quote-unquote hero's journey in the film, he has one last moment to convey a sense of guilt and about what he's done. It illustrates what a complicated character is, so to clarify, it's a spiritual representation of her, and obviously that's something that is the Soul Stone has the power to do, but really it's there to illustrate his pain and guilt. I wouldn't read much more beyond that. That's what I had thought, because I didn't think he was, like in it, and that the internet went crazy, and, like, that's not it's a metaphor.
Yeah, I mean, I understand why a lot of the internet went nuts, especially with comic book fans, when you think of, like, Warlock and him existing in the spirit world, and then being able to reincarnate himself into someone that just died. You know, that whole scene where they go off the hill, and, like, the three of them die, and then, like, Warlock comes back with Pip the Troll. Yeah, comics are a heck of a drug. But yeah, so I see why, but no, it's real.
Oh, and live chat, I wasn't bad-mouthing Iowa. I was saying awesome for Iowa to get
the
Russo brothers.
Yeah, no, that's awesome.
Positive. And apparently,
that's excellent. Go Iowa.
One of the Russo brothers went to the University of Iowa, which is also awesome. Did not mean to accidentally say anything ill of Iowa.
Yeah,
I think I was
and
great.
Real quick in the chat room, Zaz B. Lou says, I'd love for Namor to be in BP2, but not sure about the rights and whatnot. Yeah, it's
we
like,
gotta settle all
Namor
that.
Is like, I think he's Universal or
yeah,
something.
Yeah, he's even more complicated than Fox.
Yeah, he's kind of like in that weird Incredible Hulk
yeah
realm.
Solo movie as it's, part of a movie, what do we do?
Who knows? He'd be excellent, but then so would you know, Victor Von Doom.
Yeah,
that might be a little bit more streamlined, who
and
knows?
Yeah, easier to so we also heard that from Marcus and McFeely, another underappreciated duo in the world of Marvel, they are the writers on Infinity War. Mm. Along with the Russo brothers, these four people make magic. And they were talking about deleted scenes that didn't even get shot. They didn't make the cut because in the script phase, it just didn't work. So apparently there was an earlier rendition of the script that Iron Man and Captain America met up before. And if you look at the movie, they don't. So that's and it's interesting that like they've not resolved their Civil War stuff.
No,
and that's really cool because there's so much going on in the movie you don't even realize. Like, oh, wait, these guys haven't. They never met up. One's in space.
Yeah.
So there was another run where he said, quote, our first sort of wonky draft had the idea that they get back in the same room together and deal with that. But it meant that you're slowing down your Thanos Infinity Stones quest to deal with other threats from other movies. And that became, as much as we wanted to, and as many times we wrote those scenes, it became clear that this movie needed to be propulsive and be about Thanos and what he represented to the Avengers. I would pay so much money to read the original. Like, what it would, like, those scenes between, because they write them so well, it'd be like the ultimate comic to read what that meeting felt like.
It would be, and then plus, completionist achieved.
Oh, yeah, 100%. Doing that. I've got every edition of Infinity War in my brain.
I like that. Every which way. Version.
Yeah.
My reality stone is strong.
We've got a variant cover from that scene and that scene and that scene. So I love that that exists. I love that they try to play around with that. There was also apparently one version that Spider-Man did not go to space, but where Falcon did. And that would have been a very Ooh. Different dynamic of Falcon in space.
Extremely different.
And would have changed the whole movie. And we also found out during the same interview that Dave Bautista's Drax delivered one of the funniest lines in Infinity War as an ad-lib, and I love this. The line where Star-Lord asks Tony Stark, where's Gamora? And Tony replies, I'll do you even better. Who's Gamora? And then Drax yells, I'll do you one better. Why is Gamora? Was an ad-lib.
It's excellent. So excellent.
That is how much that man knows that character. Because that was one of my favorite lines in that movie. And, like, that's an ad-lib that's incredible.
There you go. And that's a win for wrestling right there.
Yeah, training. So we have Infinity War'd our butts off. We're going to be talking about it for some time to come. It is still killing it in the box office. Mm-hmm. I'm curious about what the box office figures look like this week with Deadpool and Infinity War. I think it'll not be number one anymore. I think Deadpool will get number one, but I still think it's going to make almost as much money. I think it's going to be a close second. And I just love that, like, Deadpool and Infinity War in theaters at once is the coolest time to be one of us.
Yeah, it's excellent. I mean, you definitely have enough variety to satisfy some nerd tastes there. Yeah,
no matter what, you have a time at the movies. Yes. Either a giant roller coaster or a comedy roller coaster. It's have fun. And by the way, Infinity War is not the end of the Avengers.
In case you were thinking it was.
It's not.
Which it's
the
not.
End.
It's not.
It's an end.
Yes, yes. It is an ending. It is many endings.
Yeah.
And one.
But Avengers never say die. Much like the Goonies.
Oh, there you go.
So the end never really is the end. The MCU is stronger than ever. And 10, 15 years into the future, Bob Iger promises the still untitled Avengers 4 will be a significant conclusion, but not the end. He said, quote, given the popularity of the characters and given the popularity of the franchise, I don't think people should conclude that it will never be another Avengers movie. There's certainly a lot more stories to tell and a lot more characters to populate those stories with. There are. I do think we'll see the end of some of these characters, some of these contracts, some of these actors, but we haven't even touched on Kang, man. And, like, there's so many big bads
there's
that can...
There's so many. Like, let's go into cosmic beings alone. I mean, we've blown out the universe. You know, the universe is huge now for everything. You know, thanks to Guardians, thanks to Thanos.
Yeah.
You know, thanks to just about everything. So, I mean, would people be like, no, that's too much if Living Tribunals showed up? Hey, they had the Uatu.
They did.
So...
And juxtapose that, we can have that and then Spider-Man. Like... Big, big cosmic, small, like, friendly neighborhood.
Yeah.
Like, you can make both work. I get excited about Spider-Man. You can make both work, and that won't feel jarring, because the Marvel's made this universe so fleshed out. So, it's not the end. Fear not. There will be many, many more Avengers to come. And we also found out in real life, in 3D, in our world, in the universe of here, Iron Man's suit was stolen.
Yeah. So on you know, Earth 616, which is where we are. So yeah, someone got away with it.
Yeah.
They got away with it, and apparently it's been stolen for a little bit.
Like hundreds of thousands of dollars this suit costs. And yikes. Like it was in like a secret warehouse and it was a while ago.
Yeah. It's gone.
Awkward.
I think Gambit took it.
See, I think Downey Jr. took it. Because there's a few interviews where Robert Downey Jr.'s like, so what'd you take from set? And he's like, whatever they didn't notice. And like, he's always talking about taking stuff from set. And I'm like, what if he went for the big con? His contract's up. Boom. Take the suit.
What if he's like, well, you know, I kind of own 3/4 of it anyway.
Yeah, he's like, I'm going to need this. Put this one of my islands real quick. So I love that good luck to Marvel. I hope they find it. It's insane. It was the Iron Man Mark III armor, which was at a facility in Pacoima. It is the first. Oh, I didn't know that. It is the first of Stark's creation to bear the red and yellow colors, so it is that first suit when he's fully Iron Man, and it's worth $320,000.
Yikes.
Oh, boy. They were last seen in February and have apparently been missing since April. So, good luck to the LAPD. I hope you find it, because that is a piece of history, and I hope to see it one day. And to the thief, you got some brass ones yourself. So.
What was the original suit in the movie silver. Made out of? Though, like, I don't know, they might not have said that, but he's got whatever that metal is.
Yeah. Vibranium. He's got vibranium. I'm proud. That's a lot. So in the world of Captain Marvel, Annette Bening has joined the cast. I love hearing about Oscar-winning actresses and titans of the industry joining these Marvel movies because it gives it so much credibility, and it shows that these movies aren't just, like, kids' movies. Like, in the comics, we talked about this a couple weeks ago. When we were growing up, like, comics were seen as things for kids and how they were, like, trivialized, and these movies are seen as movies for kids sometimes. But when you get Annette Bening, like, come on. That's incredible.
Yeah.
So I'm excited she's joining. We don't know who she's playing yet. We know she's playing Carol Danvers' mother. We don't know in capacity she's playing that character yet. We don't know if it's a few scenes, how much her mom's involved, but she's playing Carol Danvers' mom. And we also found it this week in the world of Marvel's Miss Marvel is coming. Are you guys excited?
Here we go. Yes, I'm super excited. I'm also excited. Cole Canaletti, thank you. Gold and titanium alloy.
Oh, there it is.
There it is. And that sounds right. Thank you. Got big gold
golden
ones.
Titanium golden alloy titanium cojones
ones.
what do you think about Ms. Marvel coming to the MCU?
I think finally.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I spoke about this a little bit on Screen Junkies News the other day. And yeah, it's just nice to be able to appeal to a younger audience as well. You know, she's 16 years old. So to have another person that maybe could join Spider-Man would be cool. Imagine like Spider-Man and Shuri all together.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. That's going to be a great time.
Yeah. I'm all
for it. If that happens.
And the Champions Run, like the Champions Run is almost all new characters. The current like team of young, like, and I love the idea of that for the movies. Like as we lose our Avengers, as we know them going to this world. And Ms. Marvel's a really good book. I really like the Ms. Marvel book. It's so smart.
Yeah, and you really love her and Lockjaw. It's just
it's just
a good old time.
It's real wholesome.
Between the two of them, it's just a giant bulldog. And then Ms. Marvel.
Real cute.
Getting her Kamala Khan on.
So Kevin Feige officially told BBC, no small network, so it's official. We're doing Captain Marvel right now. Captain Marvel shooting right now with Brie Larson. Miss Marvel, which is another character in the comic book, the Muslim hero who is inspired by Captain Marvel, is definitely sort of in the works. We have plans for that once we've introduced Captain Marvel to the world. So that sounds like a good, like, near future.
Yeah, and what an excellent stepping stone into the Miss Marvel
world. Yeah. So I can't wait for Captain Marvel and all of that. Mm-hmm. That opens up. So TV time. It is time. Discuss television. The world of...
There it is.
I just had to yell it out. There it is. His favorite webhead sings this rhyme. Watch out. It's time for TV time. I never want to talk over it. I want to experience Marvel it. Movie news. We're talking TV
time. There it is.
Thank you, voice of Uatu. For our TV time jingle.
You know what? That was such a great visual for me.
Can you see it?
Picturing like a giant Uatu guitar with like his and like giant the toga. Yes. Oh, I was.
That voice sounds like a Uatu to
you
me.
You know what? Yeah, and he's on the moon. He's Cannon. Doing that.
Just happened. And
he's on the blue side of the moon, and he's playing his guitar.
He's that's just it, watching
that's,
over
that's,
us.
That's it.
He watches Marvel movies, of course.
That's canon now.
Boom. Welcome. So, Inhumans. yes. has been canceled.
Yeah.
So are we surprised? I mean, so, it had its fans.
And yeah, it definitely did. And you know, with Inhumans, it's great that just Marvel and comic books in general have gotten to the point where they're focusing on different properties, mm-hmm. you know, and trying to flesh that out in different ways. Like with, you know, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., they fleshed that out in a way, and it got incredibly successful, yeah. you know, and it works, and it has a great fan base, a very loyal fan base, and it's continuing on with within humans. I think with the environment that's now with comic books, there was just perhaps more expectations
than
what Inhumans ended up being, and then with the budget that they allocated for that particular property at that time, it just didn't, for in my opinion, it just didn't fit with what everybody else was expecting, mm-hmm. especially with how out there Inhumans can be.
And the world of like DC TV, you've got Flash, Supergirl, Legion, like the League of Legends. They're all different shows, mm-hmm. but they all kind of fit a universe to a point. Like even Black Lightning, though it's not in the universe, it feels that way.
Mm.
For me, Inhumans didn't feel like part of the Marvel universe. It never felt like it was of them at the right time or the right finances or the right character. So I wanted it to do well because I'm a big, big fan of Kirby. And I really think that it could have if it was in different hands, but it is no longer with us.
Yeah, and that doesn't say that they might not do some sort of reboot later on, or yeah. there might be an Inhumans movie, or maybe they end up joining, you know, after Avengers 4 or anything like that.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't think that we should take this as a, we're no longer going to play with these characters anymore. It's just, it wasn't quite right for the time that it fits in now.
Yeah, so what is right is Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Season 6.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. is the gift that keeps on giving.
Yep. And we get another.
And, yeah, I mean, they got renewed for Season 6.
Yeah.
Go, y'all. I mean, you have the finale happening on May 18th. That's this week. That's mm-hmm. this Friday that's happening. Will they save the Earth? Will they save us all? Or are we all doomed? I guess we need to listen to the voice of doom tell us.
Good segue. Doom!
Voice of Doom here with another Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Minute. Oh, I'm running out of my lunch break so I can get you guys this news because it's good news. Six seasons, guys. Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. is getting a sixth season. This week's episode was a lot of fun. I actually thought it was a really great episode. We got more Graviton. Coulson, I don't know. Do you think Coulson's going to make it through the end of the season? That's the big question right now. But let's talk about season six. We're getting some more Infinity War tie-ins in this episode directly. I think that we're going to wind up ending at the same point as Infinity War. So what does that mean for Season 6? It's a 13-episode order. That's half of what S.H.I.E.L.D. usually gets. Does that mean it's the last season? It's pretty likely. But the good news with that is I think that means it's going to tie very heavily into Infinity War. I think they're going to use that shortened season to get them right up against Infinity War Part 2, whatever it's going to be called, Avengers 4. New Avengers, I don't know. Whatever it's going to be, I think it's going to tie directly into S.H.I.E.L.D. Season 6. Either we're building right up to it or coming right off of it if we get pushed to a summer show, which could be a cool way to really tie into whatever's happening or give us a window into what happened between the two movies. It'll depend on when ABC announces that the show is going to air. So stay tuned for that. This has been the Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Minute. If you want more Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. discussion, tune into AfterBuzz TV's Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. after show on Sunday at 5. We're going to be talking about the season. Now it's season, not series. Season finale on AfterBuzz. Join us there. I got to get back into work. Bye.
Yeah,
yes.
Doom! Thank you, as always, Zach. We appreciate your minute and a half, too.
Indeed. And thank you, fans, for very kindly reminding him with that. We
always
do,
nice.
We do enjoy having that, and we hope to have a Doom minute or 2 minutes for
finale. Would be big, yeah. Yeah. We need that.
We
and
need it.
I also, I hadn't put that together. The next season is half of the usual season, which is how many people might survive after Thanos' death.
Oh,
so even Thanos' snap
too
affected half the episodes.
Soon, Koi.
Half the episodes are dust, you guys. You get 13.
Oh, too wow. soon. Get out. That's it.
Hey, those made it. So the show is still on. It is getting a 13-episode order next season. I personally hope that they can like keep the same budget and get 13 episodes, because that way you can like do more Ghost Rider level stuff. You can do more tying into Infinity War, like Doom was saying, and I have a lot of hope for that with this next season, especially if it's the last.
Yeah. Oh,
our... go out in a bang.
Yeah, you know what? Six seasons is that's a long time. That's really good.
Seven seasons in a movie is the joke.
I guess I always kind of compare things to X-Files, like back when, and it's yeah, after a certain point, it got to where it's like, we should probably just end this. Oh, no, we're doing another season because it's very profitable. And be like, well, we should end it after this. Oh, no, here's another movie. I'm like, all right, you got my money, but yeah, you know.
Dexter ended at 4 for me. Oh. Dexter only has 4 seasons.
And then X-Files came back again and got another 2 seasons, so...
Friends is 10, and that's always like the big show for me. Like 10 years is like, okay, that's a long-running show. So 6 is a lot for a sci-fi action show. And
yeah,
I don't
well know, done.
It might
well
not be
done.
The end. I just, it feels like it could be.
Yeah, I mean, they can been space, been the future. Mm-hmm. They can do just about anything.
And the streaming service for Disney will be up by then. So that'll be interesting if they change over to that.
Oh, yeah. That is very true.
You know what I mean? ABC might not. We'll see.
Yeah, we'll see. We'll see what the future holds. All of us, not just half of us.
Sorry, internet. That was slightly mean but fun. Good television. Legion season 2. I am not caught up. I'm not going to lie.
I'm
not going to pretend.
I'm not caught up. I am on episode 4 now, and it's really good. It's just that, you know, life is hectic, and there's so much to read, and there's so much to watch. I know that I've heard other people talk about it, so I do know some spoilers. I'm not going to say anything here, because no fair that I should spoil it for you, even though it was spoiled for me. But it seems confusing, but also extremely awesome. Mm-hmm. And then it all ties back into what they said in the very first episode, where an idea is a thought and planet, just like a delusion is a corrupt thought and planet.
Love that concept.
So yeah, there's a lot of twisty turvy, just very fun stuff that's happening with that. Well, for me,
you're all caught up.
I am.
How nice. Are the episodes we have not seen? Do they stay weird and awesome and crazy and confusing but great?
Yes. Especially this last episode. One of my favorites for sure from the last 2 seasons.
Nice.
Definitely, yeah. It's fun, and it really gives Dan Stevens a chance to show all of his personalities.
Cool. Oh, interesting. Good commercial. Good commercial.
All that
so
more after this.
Yeah, and if anybody doesn't know Legion, like this is your first time tuning in with us, it follows David Haller, played by Dan Stevens. And he has various personalities. He's also a powerful mutant. And he was, you know, inhabited by a even stronger mutant who is now has been expelled and is now searching for his body. And comic books are a
just
heck of
like
a drug.
It sounds.
So, yeah. Enjoy.
I can't wait to catch up. I really like this show. I just, Deadpool and Infinity War have knocked all of my life out of, like, in any sort of order. speaking of life being knocked out of order, The Punisher, season 2.
Ooh.
The first season was a big hit. I think that, for me, The Punisher might be my flagship. The Punisher season 1 was maybe the best Netflix show. It's hard, because I love Jessica Jones, I love Daredevil, but, like, Punisher was, it handled things so much bigger than I expected it to, so much better than I expected it to, and that means the bar for season 2 is so high. And we probably won't get it before 2019. Luke Cage season 2, which I'm also really hyped for, and Bushmaster looks great. We watched that trailer recently.
Yes.
It arrives on June 22nd. Daredevil season 3 likely to follow in late 2018. Iron Fist season 2 in early 2019. But Punisher season 2 could be sometime mid to late 2019. So they're filming. I love John Bernthal as Frank Castle. I can't wait to see any of this.
What an excellent casting for them. Just what he brings to it. I love the way that they treat and protect PTSD.
Yeah.
Like they make it very real for anybody who hasn't experienced that. And I don't know people that haven't.
Yeah.
But for people that haven't, it makes it very real for them. And then for people that do have it, it makes it normalizes.
Mm-hmm.
Where it's just like, hey, you know what? You're cool.
Yeah.
It's good. You're having, you know, you're having things happening right now, and we're going to take these steps. this is what we're doing.
It handles political commentary in a way that doesn't feel political, and that's always hard. It handles gun violence, it handles that conversation, and it doesn't feel like it's beating you over the head with either side, and I love that, and I respect that. So I really liked Punisher. Season 1 ended on such a great note. Yes. I cannot wait to see what season 2 does.
More Billy Burns.
Yes. Oh, yeah, I can't wait to actually see the character, the villain, if you somehow haven't watched it, do so. Jigsaw's coming season 2, I think.
Yes.
So we also have a very, very quick teaser of another show on the Fox Network. Check out The Gifted season 2. Okay.
There you go. That's what you
10
get.
10 seconds of M. But that yes. M, both mutants, mutees, the M over Bishop's eyes.
What? Yes. What? Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
That had that nice. Etchiness. That's what I saw when I saw that M. I saw Bishop M. Nice. Maybe. More locks.
Yeah, yeah. I was just seeing a mutant resistance flag. Yeah. It's like, yeah, they're trying to cross them out. They're trying to, you know, sequester them off and study them. It's like, no, we're proud.
Yeah.
It's like right here.
This is ours.
This is us.
And Matt Nix, the showrunner, recently said, quote, "One thing I would love to do is there have been some really great Morlock stuff. Obviously, we've used some characters, but the whole mythology around Morlocks really fits into our world. I'm really interested in that. And to be honest, part of what we do, even with the merger, and what we do is very affected by what the movies are doing. We have to stay out of their way, and they have to stay out of our way." Which means, it sounds like there's at least been a conversation about the Morlocks in the movies. Because he says, like, we have to stay out of their way and ours. So I think the Morlocks are really interesting, because they're, like, next level repressed and next level, like, world hates and fears us. Mutants are, at least on the surface, Morlocks are underground hiding.
And I think that's the perfect analogy for it. You know, above ground and underground, where it's like, because of the above ground mutants, it's like, oh, it's kind of like where you go back to, oh, have you tried not being a mutant?
Yeah.
Kind of a thing with, like, you know, that moment. Because, yeah, if your powers are somewhat in control, then, hey, you can kind of get away with it.
You
can
kind of just...
visually, you can kind of fit in. Well, yeah. Morlocks, no, you don't have that option.
And that's a very dark thing to deal with. That's a huge... And that needs a show, I think, because the amount of story it would take to really get that point.
I think it would. I think it would do very well. I would definitely watch.
Yeah. So I'd love if the Morlocks were on there. Now, before we wrap, Ms. Marquis and I had the great pleasure of going to a certain establishment... from my dreams. Sister Margaret's School for Wayward Children was real for today, and we got to visit. It was a pop-up in LA, which is a thing that people are doing for marketing now, which I love, where they turn things that are marketing into real 3D places you can visit.
For a limited amount of time. It's like 3 days.
Yeah, it was a Thursday, Friday, Saturday.
There you go.
And it was a bar in a bar, and there were... Mike's Hard. There's me, Markia, my girlfriend, and Deadpool rocking out. And I love that we got to visit a place that I read about since the 90s. It was really cool. I also learned that I look like the Red Skull with overhead lighting.
I don't think anybody's seen it, but Sleepwalkers... Stephen King, you look like the lead who was a cat person.
I've always liked having defined jawbones, but that is haunting. I was like, I'm gonna be Deadpool. No, I'm the Red Skull with a mustache. But we had a great time. It was an amazing thing, and I this movie, and as always, Deadpool marketing is so much fun, and this movie is a blast. So I want to thank Mike's Hard and Rob Liefeld and Deadpool for that whole experience. And before we wrap, Mary Marvelettes, let's give him some love.
All right, so we have Ina at Miss Ina Says, Sean Sanchez at Sean SA08127560, Andre Humane at Andre Humane, Big G at Simple Texas Man, Gilly at Greg the Gamer, James Spence at Temecula Film Guy, Brian B at Brian America 22, Jose Ponce at JL411, Charles Lee at GoofyFan_Chuck, Jonathan Herdatu at MasterJ2900, Michael Beltran at Mickey Bell, and I Scott Andrews. Shout out to all of you. And so we do have a few questions. We want to.
We got like 5 minutes.
Five minutes? Yeah, let's do some questions. So, and this first one is from Joshua, never Josh. I have a question. What if they don't actually bring anyone back in Avengers 4? What if they replace them all? The only announced sequels are Spider-Man, Black Panther, and Guardians of the Galaxy, and they have easy replacements for each character. I'm not going to go into the exact characters that he says for those. And so what if they don't actually bring anyone back? What if every Everything that happened is completely real. Amy has a sad panda face on.
It's real. Huge, that's a real huge, sad panda face.
Huge sad panda face.
It like would be the boldest move in a franchise.
That would be incredibly.
I would love it.
Well, you're a horror movie guy. You've got meanness in your bones.
Like it definitely, like, I would respect them so much.
I'd respect it and weep at the same time.
You know, it would be heartbreaking, but also total respect.
It'd be so bold, I would respect it, but I love Tom Holland's Spider-Man, and I feel like I went through a lot of Spider-Man to get there.
Yeah, there's no way it's going to happen, though. They're coming back.
Yeah. In fact, my theory is that the ones that weren't taken... Yeah. They will then go through a series of process to bring back the ones that were, and then they end up being real death.
It's no coincidence the original Avengers are still going, which is sad. Yeah,
so that's my thought, where it's like going to be like, oh, hey, we got everybody back. And now that happens to the people that we think
survived,
are safe. Maybe not all of them. Maybe like one, like maybe Thor.
I think we lose like the OG.
Maybe
Avengers.
I mean like stays like for another movie. But I think my thought is flippy flop.
Yeah. So I don't think it'll happen. But Joshua Never Josh, that is bold, and we will see.
At Ed Keats, if Thor can speak Groot, then it must be a language used by many. Do you think we'll get to see more Groots in the MCU, or maybe even a backstory in the future? Also, should Thor join the Guardians? I think so. Loving your work, guys. # Wakanda forever.
Thor and the Guardians is an inspired idea.
I like that. I want that to be... I don't know if that exists as a comic yet. I know that they have the Contest of Champions, Thor and Hulk, which I heartily recommend. It's like 6 issues, and plus you get a new elder. I forget her name. I just call her the Hype Woman. That's not her name, but she's excellent. Hype, so hype. Yeah, for Clash of... Yeah, go ahead and read that one. But yeah, Thor and... remember back when Rocket said, oh, you know, Groot's the last one of his kind.
Yeah.
You know, that kind of thing.
The Flora Colossus, which is such a cool name for a being.
Really cool. I think that there has to be more of him.
In the comics, they discover a world of him. In recent Guardians comics, they discover more of him. So that's a thing. And I also, like, I think he's a fascinating character. And we've seen, like, so many iterations of him. I'm not sure if they need that to show that. But if they go explore the cosmos, I'd love to see more Groots. And I also think Thor with the Guardians is, like, Downey Jr. wouldn't, scheduling-wise, be able to make that work. But I think Thor might. And I would love to see... Because that would give the comedy aspect that Chris Hemsworth loves so much. Like, the scenes where they're on the ship are some of the funniest in the movie.
Are you mocking me?
Are
you mocking me?
Why is he copying me? I'd love that.
Yeah. Charles Lee at GoofyFan_Chuck. There have been talks about Moon Knight recently. Yeah. Would you rather have it as a dark PG-13 R movie or have it as a dark TV-14 show on this new Disney subscription online channel? A show would have the character fleshed out better, in his opinion.
I want a TV-17 show. I want a rated M, like an MA.
Oh, I want that to... I know that Disney's doing it streaming and everything. Yeah. I want that to be a Marvel Netflix show. Mm-hmm. I want it to stay on Netflix because Netflix can go there. Yeah. And I don't believe Disney's brand can go there.
It's weird even reading Disney. It's even weird, like, seeing Disney in writing just now. It's like, Disney, rated R?
So there's that. I mean... Oh, that so belongs in my head. That Netflix. So belongs on Marvel Netflix. Mm-hmm.
And Bushmaster being introduced in Luke Cage. To me, Bushmaster's a Moon Knight guy. So I see that as the parallel. Okay. I see, like, how we got Punisher in Daredevil. Mm. I see Bushmaster being our connecting tissue to Moon Knight.
Hey, I'm okay with that. That and, what's his name? Tyrone. No, not Tyrone. The Turk.
Turk. Oh, Turk all day, Turk. Everywhere. I want Turk in Avengers 4. Yeah, I want Turk to make the crossover.
Turk belongs in Moon Knight also.
Turk He's survived. Just that character. Turk survived the snap. Oh, also, so briefly, sorry, worth mentioning. We found out that Lady Sif did not make it after the snap this week. The Russo brothers went on and said who made it and who did not. He wouldn't say whether or not Genki / Ned Leeds made it, but we did find out that Lady Sif did. So that is a bummer. So RIP, one of the best female characters in the Marvel Universe.
Yeah. Oh.
Yeah, it's a bummer. Yeah.
Well.
Poor little Sand.
Get out. Zing. Get out, boy.
Another zing by Coy.
Oh, this is too soon.
Too soon.
You're just twisting the knife.
Into the sand.
Here's some salt and lemon for your wound.
What is it with you two? Amy, you're my only friend now.
Yes. That hard darkness. I'm jumping on the bandwagon.
Okay, Matt DeMillo at Matty D 7155. Spoilers. Oh, should we do spoilers?
For which Avengers?
Yes, post snap Thanos.
We were vague about it earlier with the Soul Stone.
Yeah, so we'll save this for
okay.
Show.
Yeah, we were vague enough earlier.
Okay, so for this last one, it's just a shout out, Jalen J. May I please have a shout out in the next show? I love you all so much. It would make my day. My name is Jalen Jones. Might be Jalen Jones. JJ. We'll go with Jalen Jones.
JJ.
Shout out, JJ.
Also from the live chat, our final shout out, Sky Patterson, OG friend of the show, does art for us, always
Sky!
In the live chat. Just graduated culinary school today.
Oh, congratulations, Sky.
Super proud of him,
my
Sky
goodness,
Patterson.
That's awesome. Yeah. My dad's a chef. Oh, and you're a chef. Oh, everybody's a chef. It's great.
Food brings people together. There's no MVMT. I mean, there's no Blue Apron sponsors, so this is just me saying it. Food brings people together, and it's so important, and like sharing that experience with people, it's literally keeping them alive. So I love cooking and chefs and that world. Like, I watch every chef movie. I love Burnt with Bradley Cooper. I love Chef with John Favreau, weirdly circling the Marvel universe. It's a cool profession.
I love cooking shows. I watch like all the dessert shows. I've seen them all. Zumba's, yeah, nailed it, you know. Just I watch
Great British Cook-Off.
Great. Yes, Great British.
So and also, according to Zeno Hour, The Eternals has a screenwriter, according to The Hollywood Reporter. So
Ooh,
that's exciting. We'll talk about that next week once we get more details.
Indeed.
But where can they find you on the internet, Amy?
On all social media at Amy Cassandra MTZ.
Perfect.
Excellent. You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at Markia McCarty. This is MarkeiaMccarty. And you can find me on Collider Heroes Wednesdays. It's actually with Koi, and that plays at 2 p.m., surprisingly enough, 2 p.m. on Wednesdays. So you can hit us on Tuesday and then hit us on Wednesdays also. And I do so many things. I do so
Twitter.
Many things, Koi. Do so many things.
She
Hit
tweets.
Me on Twitter. Yes, please. Interact with me more on Twitter because I want to do even more Twitter stuff. And then on Mondays, I have my horror RPG that I do with Hyper RPG. We are nearing the end of our story. This is volume 4 called The Cold. And it takes place in the South Pole. It is it actually takes place at like the South Pole, Edmundson South Pole Station. And it is intense. There are 4 of us in the RPG. One of us died the first episode.
Oh.
Like, bad rolls.
Oh,
it happened. No. Yeah, yeah. And I was so close to death in the second episode. And I was basically saved by the chat room and, like, one other person with, like, dice rolls. So, yeah, if you want to be in the live chat this upcoming Monday, that's 6 p.m. twitch.tv/hyperRPG. I hope to see you there.
And I am Koi Jandreau at CoiJandreau on Twitter and Instagram. And we will see you tomorrow if you want to come to our fan screening of Infinity
please.
War at 2:30. You can also find me on The Collider Show. And the thing I've been hyping forever, I can almost announce, like, maybe as soon as next week. I can only tell friends and family so far. But the thing I've been doing for so long, I can finally announce. And I really can't wait to hear what you guys say about Deadpool. I'm going to drop my spoiler-free today. Tell me. Send me things.
The time change for the show.
Oh, and we'll tweet out the time change for the show next week. It won't be at 2, it'll be 11 or 12. And Deadpool 2 is out this weekend. See it, support crazy cinema. Thanks, guys. We'll see you next week.
Bye.
From producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire Popcorn Talk Network, we would like to thank you for tuning in. For questions or comments, be sure to visit popcorntalk.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of the Popcorn Talk Network.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of its owners or principals.